Now, you should have a handout there in your prayer list for this evening. And we're still talking about the particular laws of biblical interpretation. And this is part three that we're dealing with tonight. And what we want to deal with is the law of full mention. And this law stated is where a particular place of revelation concerning any spiritual subject vital to man gives the full mind of God on the matter. In other words, the Bible often summarizes most of its teaching on any given subject in one or more key passages. And sometimes you'll hear me as I preach talk about, you know, Hebrews 11 being the faith chapter, you know, over in Hebrews 11 in the faith chapter. Well, that's what is known as the faith chapter. Let's take a look at a couple of examples here. And we can expect a full and complete treatment of most every subject vitally connected with basic doctrines in life in some major passage or section of Scripture. It may not be a whole chapter, maybe a portion of a chapter, but that chapter is still known by the names here that we have listed. And this is not a exclusive list. There are other key chapters to be found. And for the sake of memory, I'm going to encourage you to mark your Bible with these titles at the beginning of the corresponding chapters. Let's look at Psalm 119, just for instance. As you have been in church and listened to teaching or preaching on the Word of God, no doubt you've heard many quotations from Psalm 119. That's because this whole chapter, and it's the longest chapter in the Bible. I mean, we're talking about 176 verses. This chapter includes many different references to the Word of God. In fact, I think there's only like two or three verses in the whole of the chapter that do not have a reference in some manner to the Word of God. Now, if you look at Psalm 119 there, verse number 1, it's called the law in verse number 1. It's called the testimonies in verse number 2. It's talked about his ways in verse number 3. It's talked about his precepts in verse number 4. It's called his statutes in verse number 5. It's called his commandments there in verse number 6. And it's called his judgments there in verse number 7. You see the different ways that he references the Word of God. And so it is regarding the Word of God, many great verses coming out of this, not the least of which, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And look at also verse number 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse number 11, back up amidst that one, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. There are other verses here that you probably have memorized. Verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But all of it with regard to some aspect of the Word of God. So if you want to learn more about the Word, let me suggest that you take time to study Psalm 119. It's a very great study to go through. Then we see the law chapter. Of course, Exodus 20 is where we find the God's top 10. We call them the Ten Commandments. The law was the beginning of the law being given to Israel there by Moses. And the Ten Commandments are listed there, and that's why it's called the law chapter. The tithing chapter, you know, just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean that God's still not expecting tithing, okay? Tithing was before the law, and tithing still is a thing that is that the Lord expects of us, and it's how He takes and supports His work, how His work is kept going. Luke 16, this is an example. Look at Luke 16 for a minute. This is an example I told you, and it's called the hell chapter, but it's really the latter part of the chapter is where you find that that name coming from, and that's in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in verses 19 through 31. And you can't really preach a message on hell without some reference to what is said in here in these verses, because it gives a lot of insight into what hell is all about. We are familiar also with John chapter number 3, and that's where the Lord spoke to Nicodemus regarding being born again. So it's called the new birth chapter. And we know that the Lord's Supper, every time we have the Lord's Supper, we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You'll always see me turn there as we observe the Lord's table. Church discipline chapter, 1 Corinthians 5. Spiritual gifts chapter, chapters, plural. Sometimes you have more than one chapter. You got chapter 12 through 14. And with chapter 13 also being known as the love chapter. And so that's important there. The resurrection chapter, every Easter you'll hear me make some reference to 1 Corinthians 15, because it highlights the importance of the resurrection. You take the resurrection away, you've done away with Christianity. And that's what, of course, the world wants to do. They want to laugh at such a thing. But listen, Jesus showed Himself alive, not to just a few people, but over 500 people at one time. Okay? And He showed Himself alive over a period of 40 days. I want you to just think about that. That's a long period of time for Him to show Himself alive. In fact, you remember when Easter was? Well, you know, we've just gotten beyond that 40 days. We just have. I mean, it's just he would have shown Himself alive for a long period of time there. Now, we also when see there some other chapters. Number 12 there, the giving chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 through 10. And this is when we talk about the giving over and above our tithes, giving to the Lord, trusting the Lord to give through you. And that's what faith promise giving is, and that's how we support missions and in our church, and we trust the Lord to give, and when we trust Him for it, we give it when He gives it. Amen. Then the rapture chapter. That's got a good ring to it, doesn't it? First Thessalonians chapter number 4, the rapture chapter. And then, of course, I've mentioned the faith chapter, one of my favorite. Let's turn to Hebrews 11 for just a moment. Just a precious scripture relating to the matter of faith, and what faith does in our walk, how that is by faith that those that please God before us is how they pleased God, because verse number 6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And of course, it talks about people who did what they did by faith, and how that Abel there offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, verse 4, than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And even in our day and time, we look back to Abel, And we talk about his faith, how he knew that he should offer a blood sacrifice, and he did so, and he believed that by faith. We talk about the translation of Enoch and how that he had the testimony that he pleased God. And that's the where it says, you know, without faith, you're not going to please God. How do we know that Enoch had faith? Because he pleased God. Noah's faith and Abraham's faith and all of the patriarchs' faith. And just one after another, we can go through this chapter and we can see those that are named as well as those that are not named. I want you to understand that it's not just the names that are important. It's the faith that's important. And verse number 33 and following, you don't see names mentioned here. He says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, okay? Now, the verses 33 through 35 really talk about the ones that were mentioned there in verse number 32. Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the other prophets mentions them and there, but the others, okay, others. Who others? Well, it doesn't name them all. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins or goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, how? Through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Just a testimony to faith in spite of trials that came their way. Then, of course, while I was gone, I took the opportunity. I went into Livingston from Alpine there where our daughter lives. And I take the trip down to the mountain, go sip on some exotic coffee. I don't normally spend money on exotic coffee, but I did during the vacation, and had some good coffee, but also had some good Bible study. I was studying the book of James and reading a book about it, and I had gotten to the point there of have not read the part there that the fellow writes regarding the tongue. But it's a very interesting read that I'm reading right now, and the book of James is a wonderful book, but it contains the tongue chapter, not tongues, but tongue. Tongue, the member there that's in your mouth, that gets you in trouble, you know? That gets you in some things that you can't get out of. Yeah? Are you with me? Sometimes we do that, don't we? And so it tells us about that little member, the small member that can kindled great fire. And one of my favorite books, y'all know that it's one of my favorite because it was probably one of the first books that I preached through when I came, the little book of Jude. I think it took me 26 weeks to get through the little book of Jude. And that's how thoroughly I covered it. And I've preached through it twice now here. So it's a wonderful book on apostasy. And we live in apostate times. We can see the church slipping away from the Lord. Not a good thing. And if you feel yourself slipping, you need to get back to the Lord. That's what you need to do. But Jude is a great, great book regarding apostasy. And other things that are there. As I pointed out there, sometimes it's not the whole chapter. Sometimes it's just a portion of the chapter that deal with that, that gets that chapter knowing, being known by that particular thing, okay? Another thing we want to look at, though, is regarding repetition. If there's a repetition, it's for a reason. And consider a couple of things here. There are two major passages concerning temptation. And 1 Corinthians 10 deals with escaping temptation, and James chapter 1 deals with enduring temptation. And, you know, I've been preaching a lot about the trials and temptation that come our way, and probably going to be hitting that a little more even because I think we've got trials that are coming. And trying to prepare us for when those times do come, that we endure them the way that we should, and that we escape that temptation to sin and endure the temptation to turn away from the Lord. Amen. So, two major passages, but they deal with two different things, two different aspects of temptation. Then there are two major passages concerning church discipline. We mentioned 1 Corinthians 5. That deals with the practice of discipline. Matthew 18 deals with the principles of discipline. That's Matthew 18 is the Lord Jesus Christ giving those principles of discipline. Then there are two major sections concerning the kings of Israel and Judah. Of course, we spent a good long time on Wednesday nights dealing with Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. Amen. We went through, as we were looking at the history of Israel, and the books of Samuel and Kings were especially what we were going through, and it has a Jewish royal history from man's standpoint. It gives us the secular aspect. And then the books of Chronicles, the Jewish royal history from God's standpoint, and that's the religious aspect. And then, of course, you have the four Gospels. And you know, people say, well, why do we have four Gospels? Why not just one Gospel? Well, we're given things in some of the Gospels that we're not given in others. And they're written from a different point of view. Matthew, we see Christ as the king. It's written for the Jews. And the style of that is Matthew's coming across as a teacher. Emphasis is on Christ's sermons. That's where you'll find the Sermon on the Mount, the Olivet Discourse there in Matthew. And then Mark shows Christ as the servant, as written for the Romans. And the style there is a preacher, and the emphasis is on Christ's miracles. Then Luke, Christ as the man, written for the Greeks. And its style is that of historian. In fact, he begins the very book talking about the history that he's going to be talking about. And then the emphasis is on Christ's parables. And then John, we see Christ as God, and written for the world. It's a style as a theologian, and emphasis is on Christ's doctrines and Christ's person. Amen. That's one reason why when someone gets saved and they say, well, where do I start reading that? Book of John, Gospel of John is one of the great places to read, and then follow that up with the Book of Romans, the Epistle of Romans. Those are two most excellent to get someone grounded, in their salvation, and also with the basic doctrine that they need to know. Amen. And then there are two detailed accounts of the Gentile world powers in Daniel. Daniel chapter number 2, you got the spectacular image, the Gentile power from man's perspective, and then Daniel 7, the ravenous beast. Gentile power from God's perspective. So, knowing the key chapter or chapters regarding particular doctrines can really help us in our understanding of those doctrines, and knowing the perspectives from which particular scriptures were written can help us greatly as we seek to understand God's truth better. Remember me talking about the study Bibles and how they'll give you a lot of that information, and that can be very helpful. You want to, and when you, if you're going to read through a book, it'd be great to understand who wrote it, what was their perspective, what were they trying to get across. All of these things are key in understanding, and what we're trying to do is help you get a better understanding of the Word of God. Amen? All right, well, that's our Bible study for this evening, and then we'll move on in our study, and trust that it's being a help to you, and try to give you these handouts to help you with that very thing. Well, let's pull back in our prayer list and pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.